Elder Scudder has given us the theme for this year. It's called My Song. And that's what your bulletin highlights, My Song. And on the front of your bulletin, you see we have a list of songs that you often hear during praise service. And as the title is showing, this is a personal expression. This is a personal expression, a personal task. Text is going to be coming from Revelation chapter number 15 and 3 and Exodus 15 and 2. Revelation 15 and 3 says, "And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints." And Exodus 15, 2 says, "The Lord is my strength and song, and he is become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation. My Father's God, and I will exalt him." All right? So when you look at this particular passage of Scripture, it's good to really kind of understand again, first of all, who is Moses? Who is Moses, and why did Moses sing? Why did Moses sing? Or why did the Scriptures describe Moses as having a song? It's not said about very many people in Scripture. So why does the Scriptures highlight this individual? Not to say that other people didn't sing anything, but why does the Scripture associate the word song with Moses? So first of all, Moses is in chapter number, is in the book of Exodus. That's where we come to learn about Moses. Moses was an individual that the Lord used to lead the children of Israel out of bondage. Now, the children of Israel were in bondage for over 400 something years, according to the Scripture. They got in Egypt because of a famine that was in the land. And Israel had sold his brother Joseph, and Joseph had went to Egypt, and the Lord gave Joseph dreams on how the Egyptians were to manage their food so that they could last through this famine. And the other nations or the other people around Egypt didn't have that resource like Egypt had. They had Joseph. So when there was no food, the people started migrating to Egypt for food. And one of the groups of people that migrated to Egypt was the Israelites, or Joseph's brothers. And when they got there, they stayed. They left the land of promise, and they stayed in Egypt, something they weren't supposed to do. If they were going to go to Egypt to eat, they should have went to Egypt to eat and went on back home. But they decided to stay in Egypt and got comfortable in Egypt. And in chapter number 1 of Exodus, the Scripture says that a new Pharaoh arose that did not know Joseph and did not, in other words, remember the promise that was made concerning Joseph's descendants. And this new Pharaoh looked at the Israelites as they were growing and got nervous. He said, "Well, lest these people join our enemies and overthrow us, we're going to put taskmasters over them." That's in Exodus chapter number 1 and verse number 11. Exodus 1 and verse number 11 said they put the taskmasters over them to afflict them. And now the Israelites cried out for deliverance. They were in Egypt in these harsh conditions for over 400 long years. And according to chapter number 3, chapter number 3 lets you know that they cried out to Jesus for the help. Chapter number 3 and verse number 7 lets you know that the Israelites cried out to Jesus for help because of the taskmasters. They cried out to the Lord, and Jesus called Moses to go down and to speak to Israel or speak to Pharaoh and to command Pharaoh to let Israel go. And scripture says that Pharaoh's heart was hard, and he refused to let Israel go. Therefore, the Lord gave Moses several, put upon the Egyptians several plagues. Plagues, just to name some, it was fire, it was pestilence, boils on the people's skin. All of these things happened in Egypt just so the Egyptians would let Israel go. And the Egyptians wouldn't do it. Pharaoh said, no, I will not let him go. And the last plague was the death of the firstborn. And that judgment came out of Pharaoh's own heart, own mouth. And the Lord told Moses to put blood on the doors, on the top of the doorpost and on the side. And that's called the night of the Passover, where Jesus said he allowed the death angel to come through the land and kill the firstborn, not of just the people, but of also the animals too. And those that were up under the blood were spared. And that's why they called it the Passover. In other words, the judgment didn't happen to them, it passed over them. So that's why they called it the Passover. And after that night, after that, Pharaoh's heart got softened. And Pharaoh said, we got to let these people go. We don't want them to stay in here no more. Take what you want and leave out of Egypt. And as a result of this, the Israelites were happy. The Israelites were glad that they were able to get out of there. And according to chapter number 15, if you go to chapter number 15, now after they had were freed to go out of Egypt, that's when, if you go over, well, I don't want to go to 15 right now. Let's go over to Numbers. I believe it's Numbers 21 and 17. That's one of them. Numbers 21, 17.
21 and 17. And Israel sang this song, "Spring up, O well, sing ye unto it."
Yes.
"The princes dig the well, the nobles of the people dig it, by the direction of the lawgiver."
Right.
"With their staff, and from the wilderness they went to Massah."
Right. So you see that? So in other words, Israel, the Lord blessed Israel through their blessings, through Jesus answering their prayers. This was what was one. This is the thing that kind of motivated them at this particular point in time, and the same thing that motivated them when they came up out of Egypt. When they came up out of Egypt, the same attitude was there. They saw the Lord work, and as a result of the Lord working, this is what they did. Is that what that verse say again?
"Then Israel sang the songs, spring up, O well."
Yes.
"Sing ye unto it."
Right. So, in other words, it was time to offer up praise because of what Jesus had done for them. And the same thing happened again when they came out of Egypt. Same thing happened with Moses. Moses began to sing about the delivering power of Jesus, how the Lord had worked mighty wonders, how the Lord had brought them out of bondage with a mighty outstretched arm. Great power the Lord did it. Nothing that they did. I always tell you, I said to you all a couple of weeks ago, how Israel beat an enemy without even balling up their fists. without even holding a weapon in their hand. They beat their enemy. And how did they beat them? Because the Lord was the one that fought the battle for them. Jesus fought that battle for them. Even when they came to that Red Sea. Red Sea, Pharaoh was behind them. The sea was in front of them. Moses told them to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And what happened? When Moses lifted up that rod, the scripture says that the waters parted. And the Israelites walked across the Red Sea on dry ground. And then all of a sudden, Jesus brought, when Pharaoh tried to do the same thing, the Lord brought the waters down on Pharaoh. And the Pharaoh's army drowned in that water. They died. But Israel was spared because they made it to the other side. And as a result of them seeing Pharaoh's armies drown and die, that's why they started singing again. If you go over to Exodus chapter number 14. 14 and look at verse number 21. Look at 21. Exodus 14 and 21. Start there.
And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea.
Yes.
And the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night.
Yes.
And made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground. And the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand
yep.
and on their left.
You see that? So that, in other words, the Lord put the water up. The Lord made the water to part. And the water was like a wall, just like we got walls in this building mm-hmm. on the left and on the right.
Right.
The scripture says that the Lord made the water go up. And it was like a wall. So just like we see sheetrock. Israel saw water on both sides. Isn't that something? Saw water on both sides, and they walked through that. Scripture says that they walked through that, and the Lord didn't just pull up the water and make the ground muddy. The Lord made the ground dry so that it was easy for them to travel over. So the scripture says that they walked through a wall, and the Lord caused the water to go up on the left and on the right like a wall. Keep going.
And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them into the midst of the sea.
Yes.
Even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning, whilst the Lord looked upon unto the host of the Egyptians.
Yes.
Through the pillar of fire and of the cloud.
Right.
And troubled the host of the Egyptians. And took off their chariot wheels, and they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them."
You see that? Who was fighting for Israel? Jesus was fighting for them. Jesus was fighting on Israel's behalf. All right? And the enemy knew this. This is what I want you to understand about when you're dealing with your enemy. The enemy will be able to see the hand of the Lord working on your behalf. But something inside of them will harden their heart and make them keep on pursuing you.
Right.
This is what you don't want the Lord to do to you. You don't want the Lord to harden your heart and make you not understand when he's against what you're doing.
Right.
The Lord is against what you're doing. You want to make sure that you have a repentant heart.
Right.
You change your mind. Say, hold up, the Lord is not pleased with me doing this. And I need to stop this. Because this is not helping me be blessed. It's causing my life to be messed up. And I don't want to keep on going down this path that is going to mess me up. That's when you got a good mind. But when your mind is messed up, you will see that Jesus is against you. And you'll keep on trying to fight Jesus. And you're going to lose that battle. That's right, you're going to lose that battle. Look at what the Egyptians said out of their own mouths. They said the Lord is fighting for them. Keep going. They keep going.
Uh-huh. And verse 26, and the Lord said unto Moses, "Stretch out thine hand over the sea.
Yes.
That the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and upon their horses."
Yep.
And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength.
Yes.
When the morning appeared, and the Egyptians spread against it.
Overthrew the Egyptians. Isn't that something? So that same wall of water, when the Egyptians tried to go through it, what did the Lord do? He made that wall of water come back down. And the Egyptians, according to the scriptures, they drowned. All of them drowned. If you look at verse number 28.
And the Lord And the waters returned and covered the chariots,
yep,
the horsemen, and all the hosts of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so many.
Not one of them. Not one of Israel's enemy survived. Keep going.
But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea.
Right.
And the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day.
Yes. That's a true saint.
And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the sea.
That's right. That, what did the Lord do to Israel's enemy? He killed him in the water, but then he made the water push their bodies up on the seashore to remind Israel that when the Lord fights your battles, he will take care of all of your enemies. And then the Lord, you see how the Lord allowed, you know how you got seaweed to wash up on the water? The Lord had bodies of people washing up on the water, and he left their bodies right there on the beach to remind Israel what happens when you fight Jesus. What happens when you try to go up against Jesus? You're going to lose. Lose every time, right? Keep going.
And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord.
That's right.
Believed the Lord.
That's right. And this is a good position to get in and stay in it. Now see, the Israel's problem, they got in that position, but they didn't stay in it. They let the devil come into their minds. And this is one thing we're going to be working with this whole lesson, is you don't let the enemy come in and steal your song. Don't let the enemy do that. When the Lord bring you out and the Lord deliver you, stay in that position. Stay in that right attitude where you do what? You fear the Lord and you believe him. You see in verse number 31, if Israel would have stayed there, they would have stayed a blessed people. But because they let the enemy come into their minds and change them, it messed them all up. Messed their thinking all up. But see, this is the kind of attitude you want to have. Because as a result of you fearing the Lord and you seeing the Lord work wonders and you believe in Jesus, that's when 15:1 steps in. 15:1 steps in talking about the song of Moses. Now you can imagine what kind of song Moses was singing as a result of seeing all of these Egyptians' bodies washing up on the seashore. And they didn't have to worry about fearing the Egyptians no more.
Yes.
That sounds like a song of praise.
Yes.
A song of thanksgiving.
Yes.
A song of victory. Yes. That the Lord put within his mind.
Yes.
All because he saw what Jesus did from day one up to this point in time. Now remember, before this day, Egypt was constantly chasing after them. Egypt was causing them more problems than good, right? But see what the Lord did at the end of the day? At the end of the test, what did Jesus do with the Egyptians? He washed their whole bodies up on the seashore. And Moses and them had dry feet. You see that? Remember, they walked across on dry ground. But what did the Lord do to the Egyptians? He drowned them. And he washed their bodies up on the seashore to remind Israel that when you fight against Jesus, you're going to lose.
Yes.
You're not going to win, you're going to lose. And it may take a little bit of time, but you are going to lose. The wage of sin is death. Egypt fought against Jesus. Therefore, they died. The wage of sin is death. Now, you can't say Jesus was fighting for them, because if Jesus was fighting for them, they wouldn't have died. They would have lived. But because the Egyptians fought against Jesus, thinking that they were going to beat Jesus and beat Jesus' people, what did Jesus do to them? He proved himself to them. Made the waters overthrow them. Gave the waters strength. And the waters drowned them. And it killed them. Scripture said, not one of them escaped. See, when you fight against Jesus, nobody is going to escape the judgment of the Lord. That's why I tell you, just stick with Jesus. Do what Jesus tells you to do. Cut that off. Do what Jesus tells you to do, and you won't go wrong. The Lord will preserve your life. Okay? Always remember that. Look at 15:1.
Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously.
Isn't that the truth?
The horse and his rider.
Yep.
Thrown into the sea.
Isn't that the truth?
Yes.
That's what you want the Lord to give you, that kind of song against Satan. You, this is why you stick with Jesus. Don't let the devil take away your song. Don't let the devil steal the praise that the Lord put inside of you. You know what Jesus did to bring you up out of your sin. You know how horrible your life was before Jesus got hold of you. You know the things that came forth from you. You knew how wicked you were, how wicked you thought. You know your wicked behaviors. You know some of it you tell, but you don't tell all of it. But you knew just how bad you are and were. And the Lord brought you out of all of that. Brought you out of all of that. He gave you victory over that stuff. And the Lord said, as a result of me giving you victory over that, Lord said, I'll put a song inside of you. A song of what? A song that can't nobody else sing. Can't nobody else sing about the victory that Jesus put in your life. You know, and you think about that. I can't sing about your victory. Just like you can't sing about my victory. I know what Jesus did for me to bring me up out of sin. I know how Jesus overcame the devil that was fighting against me. And is still fighting against me. Devil still is fighting you. Still, devil is still trying to attack you. Devil is still trying to prevent you from doing what the Word of God says. You know everything that the Word says. You know all of those things. You did a good thing today. You know those that are here this morning. You let the Lord give you victory. But you think about those that weren't able to make it here this morning. You think about you. You think they got up this morning with that kind of attitude that said, I wasn't going to go? No. Something prevented them. Something stopped them from coming. If they weren't planning on coming, they would have testified about it on Friday. Testified about it the last service that they was here. Saying, oh, you know, praise the Lord, saints. I'm not going to be here for the next couple of services. You know, this is what my plan is. But that wasn't the case. Something got in them. Something tried to prevent their progress. Something tried to hinder them. Something tried to stand as a hindrance in front of them, as a blockage. And you know, when you're not able to do what the Word tells you to do, you got to call it for what it is. It's a hindrance. It's a blockage. And every now and then the devil beats us. He gets victory over us because he prevents us from doing what the Word says for us to do. But when you get victory over that devil, when the Lord gives you the strength to overcome that hurdle, overcome that hindrance, the Lord is looking for a song to come out of you. A song of what? A song of victory. For you to be able to stand up and say, see how the Lord brought me out. The enemy tried to prevent my progress, but nobody but Jesus gave me the victory. That's the truth, saint. Nobody but Jesus gave you the victory. The enemy always is doing his job, and he always is going to do it. The enemy going to do everything he can do to prevent you from doing what the Word say do. Word tell you to be happy. You think about this. Go on over to the book of Philippians. I believe it's Philippians. Chapter number 4, I believe it is. When the writer tell you to think on these things. Really quick. Didn't intend to go there, but somebody get it. You'll read it for me. Philippians chapter number 4 and verse number, start at 4 and verse number 1. Start at 4 and 1. Okay. And we'll work our way on down there.
Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, long for my joy and crown.
Uh-huh.
Stand fast.
What did the writer tell you to do?
Stand fast.
That means be steadfast.
Yes.
Don't let nothing shake your ground. Don't let nothing make you unstable. This is when you were talking about stuff you go on through life. Stuff in life is trying to make your ground unstable. Trying to make you waver in your faith. You say, well, Elder Scudder, I didn't feel good. Well, what do you think that? You think the Lord is putting this stuff on you? You think the Lord is trying to make you feel bad and yucky? No, that's the enemy doing that. Enemy trying to take your mind off of Jesus. And if you're not careful, he'll get victory over you. He'll get the victory over you. You're not careful, but the writer done told you, what does the Lord expect from me? Lord expects you to stand fast. Lord don't expect you to give up. Lord expect you to stand fast, right? Keep going.
In the Lord, my dear beloved.
Yes, that's right.
That they be of the same mind.
Yes, that's right.
I entreat thee also, true young fellow, help those women which labor with
me. Ain't that the truth? And that's the truth. Saints got to have a, I'm going to help you mind frame. You know, when you see people trying to live right, you don't want to say nothing that's going to stop them from living right. But you want to do what? Help them. You want to encourage them. You got to understand, when Elder Scudder is giving you instruction, I'm trying to help you. I'm not trying to hinder you. I see something fighting against you. Therefore, I'm telling you, brother, sister, do this. This is what you should do. Well, why am I telling you this? Because I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to build up your faith. Enemy wants you to pay attention to stuff that's not going to help you be saved. Enemy trying to get you involved in stuff that's not going to help your soul go back with Jesus. And it's up for the saints to encourage one another. Encourage one another even more as we see the day approaching. As we see the coming of the Lord upon us. And people are laughed. Because people, soon as they heard Donald Trump talk about fighting Iran, they immediately say, oh, we must be at the end of time. But they don't understand the devil been doing this down through the years. This ain't the first war that the people get themselves involved in. But what do we see? I see sin is becoming acceptable. People are okay sinning. People are becoming all right with being sinners. They're saying it's okay for me to stay in this state or this condition. Even when you tell them that the wage of sin is death. This is what lets you know that the hearts and the minds of the people are waxing cold. Their consciousness is losing weakness. It's getting weak. Something inside of them is not, disturbed because of this sinful Adamic nature. When you see this, this lets you know that the time is short. That we are getting closer to the coming of Jesus. When you don't see people grabbing hold of repentance and being godly sorrow, being sad that they're in that state and wanting a different way of life, when they're finding other things to do, that lets you know that the time is short, that Jesus coming must be here, right? That's the truth, saints. Coming of the Lord must be upon us. The Lord is telling us to stand fast. Don't let the world shake you. Don't let the world mess your mind up. You know what you must do. You know what Jesus told Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a learned man. Nicodemus was a man that was trying to live religiously, trying to do what was right. But Jesus didn't look at all of Nicodemus' good behavior and tell Nicodemus to keep on doing right. Jesus told Nicodemus, you got to be born again. Born above what? Water and the Spirit. And the church must keep preaching that same message. You must be born again. Born above water and Spirit. And if you don't got water and Spirit, you've got to find a sense of not being content, not being complacent, not being okay in that sinful state. You need to seek the Lord with everything inside of you. You need to call on Jesus with a sense of urgency. Why? Because you realize your end could come tonight. Tonight might be the day that the Lord calls you. And where will you be at, right? Where will you be at when the Lord calls? Got to have a sense of urgency inside of you. Sense of unrest. You got to let the Lord know, I'm not content, Jesus, until my soul is saved. I'm not content, Jesus, until my soul is right, in a right position to stand before you, a righteous judge, which is going to judge me by the standard of righteousness. I'm not content until I get my soul right. Therefore, we are encouraged to do what? Fast and pray. Fast and pray. Fast and pray. Until what? Until Jesus comes. Why? Because we're trying to get our souls right. We want to get right and we want to stay right. Every time the enemy try to pull on us, and you can sit there and say that the enemy's not
pulling on you. But whenever you're not doing what the words say, that means the enemy got a hold of you. He got a grip on you. And you need to ask the Lord Jesus, make that devil release his grip. Why? Because I'm trying to live right. I'm trying to do right, right? That's the true saints. That's why the writer tells us to encourage our brothers and our sisters. Those that are trying to live right, do right. Encourage them. Keep on running for your life. Come on, I'm never going to tell you it's okay for you not to come to church. Because that's not in the Word. The Word didn't give me that message. But the Word said admonish your brothers and your sisters. Even the more so, as you see that day coming, approaching, not to be negligent. In the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of whom some is. But encourage the brothers and the sisters. Come together. Come together for what reason? What do we do when we come together? We sing about the goodness of Jesus. We talk about the power of the Lord, right? You can't sing about his goodness just anywhere. But you got to be around the saints. Those that have been delivered, right? That's the truth. On the other side of the shore, those Egyptians that didn't go down in the water, they didn't have no song. Why they didn't have no song? Because they saw their brothers dying in the sea. Huh? Moses didn't have no song. Not Moses, but Pharaoh. Pharaoh didn't have no song. Because Pharaoh saw his whole army wiped out. Huh? In other words, the Lord took the song out of Pharaoh's heart. Pharaoh thought he was a mighty person. But the Lord took the song right out of Pharaoh's heart and he put it in Moses' heart. Huh? That what the Lord going to do to the devil. Devil got his song singing it right good right now. Got all of his little workers out there singing their song. Songs of celebration. Song of praise. But the Lord said, I'm going to take the breath out of the devil. I'm going to take the song out of him and I'm going to put it in the hearts of the saints. I'm going to put it in the hearts of the righteous. And what will the saints say? The Lord God Almighty have triumphed over our enemy. The Lord Jesus has given us victory over the very one that was trying to prevent us all of our lives. All of our lives the devil been trying to prevent you from living for Jesus. But Jesus gave you the victory, right? That's the truth, saints. Jesus gave you the victory. And you got to encourage your brothers and your sisters. That's what the book say. Verse 8 and verse number 3. I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women. There's those preachers. There's some churches out there don't want the women to say nothing. Tell the women you can't preach, you can't teach. Well, what shall the women do? If they can't preach and they cannot teach, what can they do? When the Lord said, I gave you the Holy Ghost for you to be a witness unto me in all the earth. I thank the Lord when the Holy Ghost comes in, it doesn't look at your gender, but it just looks at the soul of those that want to be saved. I found so many people that have sought the Lord, and the Lord gave them the Holy Ghost. The Lord filled them with the Holy Ghost, and they got up off the altar preaching and declaring the goodness of Jesus. But they let that devil take the song out of them. They let that devil snatch the word out of them. They let that devil take away their testimony. I'm here to tell you, saints, hold on. Don't let the devil take your praise from you. Don't let him take your testimony. Don't let him take the song out of you, right? That's the truth. But help the sisters. Help the brothers. Help them to do what? Keep on praising Jesus. Keep on preaching about Jesus, right? That's the truth. Help those that labor with me in the gospel. Right? Keep going. Yes. Yes. That's where you want your name to be at, saints. You want your name to be in the book. When your name ain't in the book, you ain't got nothing to sing about. You ain't got nothing to praise the Lord about. Now when your name ain't in the book, you should be somewhere crying out to the Lord. Jesus, please put my name in the book. Jesus, please don't let me die today. Jesus, please don't call my name to judgment. Not at this hour. Why? Because my name is not in the book. Wait till my name gets in the book. Once my name gets in the book, then you can call me Jesus. When my name is in the book, then you can rapture me, Jesus. But if my name ain't in the book, give me a little bit more time to pray, Lord, right? Give me a little bit more time to pray. Time to get my soul right. Huh? That's the truth. And if your name is fading out the book, if your name is fading out, if it looks like the Lord is about to erase your name, you need to cry out like the sinner cries out. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord, have mercy on me. Don't blot my name out the book. You don't want your name out the book, but you want the Lord to keep your name in the book of life. Those are the only ones that are going back with Jesus. If your name ain't in the book, you will lift up your eyes in hell. If your name ain't in the book, you're going to spend eternity with Satan, burning day and night. Huh? That's what the scripture say. If your name is not in the book, you will go into the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. This is the second death, right? Whoever's name is not written in that book of life found themselves in that lake that burneth with fire and brimstone. Huh? I ain't trying to scare you, but I'm telling you what the word says. Word say your name is not in the book. You on your way to the lake. Huh? And I ain't talking about Lake Michigan. I'm talking about the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. Well, your worm will not die. Huh? In other words, well, you're going to burn forever and forever. And you're going to know you're burning, right? Huh? That's why you got to say, Lord Jesus, when your name is in that book, Lord, keep me in the book. Lord, I don't want you to erase my name out the book, right? Keep going. Read a little bit more.
Rejoice in the Lord.
Why are you rejoicing? That's why you got to know why you got to praise inside of you. Look at what the verse before that said. Where is your name at? My name is in the book of life. And because my name is in the book, I got something to sing about. I got something to be glad about. I got a song that the angels cannot sing. Huh? I got a song that those that are in hell cannot sing. Huh? What song? I have been redeemed. Lord brought me out of hell with a mighty outstretched arm. He delivered me from my sin. Huh? Sin was trying to kill you, but the Lord delivered me from my sin, right? Lord saved me. Huh? Did the Lord save you from your sin? Huh? Lord save you from your sin. You got something to rejoice about. Huh? That's the truth. That's why your eyes be heavy. Huh? That's why you be sleepy. Because you ain't got no joy inside of you. Huh? When you ain't got no joy inside of you, you get all tired. You get all carnal. Huh? But when your mind is on Jesus, huh? You say, I got something to sing about. Why do I got something to sing about? Because the Lord got my name in the book. And I don't want to do nothing. Huh? I don't want to do nothing to get my name out that book. I don't want the Lord to look down from heaven and see me busy doing stuff that's going to take my name out the book. But Lord, keep my name in the book of life, right? And when your name is in that book of life, right, as I told you in that next verse, to rejoice. To rejoice with. Not rejoice in your sin. Huh? Not rejoice in your friends, but rejoice in the Lord. How long? Always. Monday through Monday, you should be rejoicing in the Lord. When you go on your job, you should be rejoicing in the Lord. Huh? When you go into the doctor's office, you should be rejoicing in the Lord. When you standing in the grocery store line, you should be rejoicing in the Lord. It says rejoice in the Lord always, right? Yes. Is that what the book says? Huh? You can't make this up. Huh? You can't make this up. It's got to be in you. When the Lord deliver you, he put the praise inside of you. Don't nobody have to coach you. He put the praise inside of you. Praise of what? Thanksgiving. Praise of gratitude. You realize where you should be. Huh? Come on, this is true. You realize what you should be doing. I could have stayed on the other side of the ocean. And when he put me on the same side, the scripture said great fear came over them. And they believed in the Lord, right? Huh? Come on, saint. Lord brought you out of your sin with a mighty outstretched arm. He brought you out of gross darkness. Put you in on the side where the light is at. And he said he put great fear inside of you. He put something inside of you that wasn't in you before. I believe God inside of you, right? That's the truth. That's the truth. And the enemy, since that day, has been trying to steal your joy. Huh? And I'm telling you, he ain't going to stop. He's been trying to steal your joy from that day. He's been trying to snatch the song out of your soul. You say, Elder Scudder, why do people get on my nerves? Because they're trying to snatch the song out of your soul. Them devils don't want you to be happy. They don't want you to be glad about Jesus. But what does the word say? The word say, rejoice in the Lord always. That word always means regardless of the circumstance. You find something to be glad about Jesus, right? Don't let that devil steal your praise out of you. Not when you're glad about what Jesus did.
Jesus.
You're looking for a reason, the devil will give you one.
Amen. Yes, he will. Jesus.
Huh? Devil give you one. Just don't praise Jesus. And he happy. Long as you do what he say do, he happy. He content. Long as you do something that the word tell you, as long as he can keep you from doing what the word of God says, he be happy. He be content. But the minute you start trying to live right, then he go pulling on you. Then he go trying to prevent you from doing right. And I'm trying to tell you, saints, he's not going to stop till he gets you. But you got to make it up in your mind. Huh? Look at verse number 5.
It says, let your moderation be known.
This is holiness.
Yeah.
This is holiness right here. Let your mode of living. Let your mode of living be known to who? Everybody should know you sanctified. Everybody should know you sanctified. Everybody should know you glad to live about Jesus. I'm glad to serve the Lord. I ain't ashamed to serve the Lord. I'm glad. I'm living holy and I'm sanctified. People on the job talk about how good it is to drink. I'm glad I can stand flat footed. Say, I do not drink. You ain't never drank. I never have drank. The Lord didn't put that inside of me, right? That's right, saints. And if you let the devil fool you to drink, you ought to thank the Lord. He took it out of your mouth. Took the taste out your mouth. You were fooled to smoke cigarettes. You better thank the Lord. He took that out of your fingers. Huh? Well, yes, that's true. Somebody out there is still drinking. Somebody out there is still smoking. Somebody out there is still living in beds. They should not be laying in. But the Lord took you out that foolishness. Huh? And for that, you ought to praise him. Huh? Don't be ashamed. For that, you ought to praise the Lord, right? Oh, look at you like you funny. Because you want to live right. Automatically, you're not out there having sex with this one and that one. They call you gay and everything else. Let them know ain't nothing funny about me. I'm just trying to live right. I realize the Lord is going to judge me. And I don't want to stand before the Lord a fornicator. I don't want to stand before the righteous judge a smoker or a drunk, right? But I want to stand before him with my garments washed in the blood, right? Lord said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you.
Oh, yes.
I won't bring you into judgment, right?
Jesus, Jesus.
Some folk going to stand before the Lord weed heads. Huh? They're going to be trying to hide the weed. And they won't be able to hide it. Because the Lord say, it's in you. Huh? You know how the people be trying to pass the urine test? They do this, they clean your urine. But there is something that the world can't fix your sin. Sin is still in you. I don't care what solution you drink, sin is still in you. And when you come before the righteous judge, your sin will find you out.
Jesus, Jesus, yes.
Your sin going to find you out.
Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus.
And he going to judge you. Everything. Nothing is hid before Jesus. Ain't nothing hid before Jesus. Jesus sees it all. Jesus said, I even see those secret sins. Meaning them sins that stay up in your mind. Huh? Them sins you haven't brought to fruition yet. But you let fester in your mind, right? Lord said, I see all of your secret sins, right? And I'm going to bring it all into judgment. Huh? Come on. Let your moderation be known unto all men. Why? Because the Lord. Are y'all reminding yourself this? Who is at hand? The Lord. Not the bill payer. Not the bill payer. But the Lord is here. Who's at my door? The Lord. Who is that knocking? Nobody but Jesus. Lord said, your house is next. What do you want the Lord to see when he knocks on your door? You want him to see you praying him, praising him, don't you? I want him to see me on my knees. I don't want the Lord to see me gossiping. I don't want the Lord to see me doing that. Don't want the Lord to see me murmuring and complaining. I don't want the Lord to see me that. Who said that this morning about the pity party? I don't want the Lord to see me sitting by the side of the road talking about all of my troubles, all of the things that are going on in my life. I don't want the Lord to see me that way. The Lord is at hand, saints. Who is at hand? No, not your bills, not your sickness, but the Lord is at hand. And when he knocks on your door, what do you want him to see, right? What do you want the Lord to see? I want him to come to my home and I'm ready. I want the Lord to see my bags are packed. I'm ready. Lord say, Stephen, I want to say, Lord, here am I. I'm ready to go back with you, Jesus. I done washed my garments. I done kept the faith. I fought a good fight. I laid hold on eternal life. I did not let the devil beat me, right? You better not let the devil beat you, saints.
Jesus.
That's the truth, saints. Read a little bit more.
Said, be careful for nothing.
Come on, saints. Stop walking around without purpose. People ask you, why are you so cautious? Say, it's not because of nothing. I'm cautious because the Lord is at hand. People say, why do you run to church so much? Because the Lord is coming. I don't want to miss the rapture, right?
Jesus, hey, thank you.
You don't want to miss the rapture.
Jesus,
don't be like your neighbors. Huh?
Yes.
Don't be like those that work and walk around you that have no mind. Huh? See, you blessed. You might be living on the street where you're the only one saved. Don't be like those that just sit around and do nothing. Do nothing for how long? All day long. They do nothing all day long. Right, and I told you, don't be careful for what? Nothing. Don't be careful for nothing, but in everything what? By prayer and supplication. That word supplication means cry out to Jesus. When the Lord bless you to get on your knees, don't you fall asleep. Cry out to the Lord, right? Open up your mouth and cry out to the Lord.
Yeah, Jesus.
Open up your mouth and call Jesus.
Lord, thank you, Jesus.
Call him with a sense of urgency.
Jesus.
Let the Lord know, Jesus, I need you.
Yes,
need you in right now.
Right now.
I need you to come by and deliver me.
Jesus.
Right now.
Right.
Huh? I told you.
Yeah.
Nobody but the devil's trying to do what? Hold you back.
Yeah.
Devil say, it's time for prayer. And you find your eyes drifting all down. You, who you think got a hold of you? Ain't Jesus. Devil got a hold of your mind. And the devil is getting what? Victory. Because he's winning the battle. Because you're doing everything he wants you to do. Huh? But you got to fight. You got to fight against that devil. You got to fight against that devil and don't stop. Don't stop the name Jesus from coming out your lips until the Lord give you a victory. And when the Lord give you victory, he will turn your cry into praise. Come on. How long has Israel been crying? They've been crying for 400 years. And Egypt just wouldn't leave them alone. They kept on following them. Even when the Pharaoh told them to go, look what who was behind them. The Egypt, they ran right behind them with the chariots. Israel was on their feet. But Egypt had chariots. horses running behind them. But did they catch up with them? Huh? Did they catch up with Israel? No. When it looked like they were right at their heels, what did the Lord say? I made the water. Come on down, right? I destroyed them, right? I killed them. And not one of them lived, right? The best swimmer. Huh? The best swimmer. Did they know how to swim? The best swimmer died that day. Why? Because the Lord killed them. The Lord said, I made the water stronger. Stronger than your hands. Stronger than your feet. Stronger than your horses. Stronger than your chariots, right? That's something to think about, isn't it? Come on. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving in your, let your request be made known to Jesus. And the peace of God, which passeth what? All understanding, should keep your what? Yes. Hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, my brethren.
Whatsoever things are true.
Ain't that what that told you? What the devil is trying to get you to do opposite. The devil don't want you to hold on to no truth. He wants you to focus on the lie. Huh? That devil make you hold on to that lie. You can quote that lie. And isn't that something? Folks struggle quoting scriptures. People tell you all day long, I can't remember these scriptures. But you remember that lie. You remember them lies. You remember them lies like somebody wrote it in your mind. You can tell what somebody, I remember such and such said such and such and such and such this day, and he lied to me. But what did the Lord say in his word? Quote something in the scriptures. I can't remember nothing in this. But you remember that lie, though.
Yeah.
Something's wrong with your mind, right?
Yeah.
Remember all of them love songs.
Yeah.
You can quote every rap verse. You know every rap artist. You remember the lie. You remember the lie, but you won't remember the truth. Some your mind should be remembering, right?
Yeah.
You find it real hard to do that.
Yeah.
But the Lord didn't tell you to remember lies. He says, for whatsoever things are what? Are true. Whatsoever things are what? Honest.
Are
lovely, right?
Whatsoever things are pure.
Yes.
Whatsoever things are lovely. Whatsoever things are of good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things.
Now you know it's saints what you need to be thinking about.
Yeah.
Huh? Say, Elder Scudder, I want to keep my mind positive. That verse done told you how to keep your mind positive, right? He told you what you need to do, what? Think on. Huh? Well, Elder Scudder, you don't understand. Somebody said something to me that I didn't like. Well, the Lord done told you, get that out your mind. Why are you still holding on to it? Why are you still carrying it? You know, Elder Scudder, I ain't carrying it. Yes, you are, because you just told me about it. If you wasn't carrying it, you should have forgot about it, right? But the minute you go and tell somebody else, what does that mean? You're holding on to.
Yeah.
How do you know holding on to? Because you're telling it.
Damn.
Huh? You're talking about it.
Yeah.
If you let it go, you stop talking about it, right?
Yeah.
Lord didn't tell you to think on that stuff. You remembering stuff years ago.
Yeah.
I remember such and such said such and such to me. When they said that? A couple of years ago. But when are you going to let that stuff go?
Yeah, that's right.
The Lord didn't tell you to think on that stuff. He said, think on what? These things. He said, from true all the way down to praise. You got enough to keep your mind on Jesus, right? And I'm trying to tell you, the devil's trying to take that stuff out of you. Let's see how the devil works. True, he tried to replace that with the lie, right? Things that are honest, he tried to replace that with a bunch of false stuff. Deceitful stuff. Gossiping stuff. Did you know such and such and such said such and such? And they shouldn't have did such. Why are you carrying it? Why are you talking about it? It ain't got nothing to do with you. Toxic. And they carrying it. And they dumping it right inside of you. That's that. Stuff that's not honest. Whatsoever things are just. Meaning fair, upright. You holding on to stuff that's not done right. You trying to cheat, trying to scheme, cut corners, be slick, crooked, right? Whatsoever things are pure, you're nasty. Thinking about a bunch of nasty stuff. You're laughing about nasty stuff. Whatsoever things are of good report. That's why you got to be careful about them doctor's appointments. Doctors may sometimes give you some bad information. But you got to let the doctor know, you keep your bad news. When I leave out this office, I want to talk about the goodness of Jesus. The Lord gave me the strength to walk in here, and he's going to give me the strength to walk out, right?
Amen.
But I think you need to understand this report. This report says, this is bad, and this is bad, and this is bad. Well, how do I flip that, doctor? How do I make this right, doctor? Well, I don't know. Some things you can't fix. Well, I don't need to worry about the stuff I can't fix. I need to focus on what the Lord has done for me. Before I got into your office, the Lord woke me up this morning. Lord gave me the strength to clothe myself. And as long as he keep doing that, that's what I'm going to focus on. Now, the minute when I can't clothe myself, I'm going to take that off my list, and I'm not going to think about it no more. Say, Elder Scudder, you used to be able to clothe yourself. I'm not going to think about that no more, because I can't do that right now. But what can I do? The Lord woke me up this morning, and he gave you a mind to help me get myself dressed. He gave you the strength to help me put my clothes on my body. And I'm going to thank Jesus for you, right? You ain't going to let the devil get the victory over you, right? Don't let the devil get the victory over you. Those that used to be able to use the bathroom by yourself, you can't use it by yourself no more. Thank the Lord for the tools to help you. Thank the Lord for the tools to help you. Why? Because you could be messing all over yourself. But the Lord gave you some tools, right? Isn't that the truth? Find something to think on positive, right? Stop thinking on the what? The negative. Because that negative will take your attitude just like this. You be down in the dumps. I ain't got nothing to be happy about. Nothing ain't nothing working right no more. Last I checked, you up. The Lord woke you up this morning. You different from that dead man last night. The dead man didn't wake up. Somebody went to bed last night and didn't wake up. But the Lord blessed you to do what? Get up. Get up and see a brand new day, right? Day you've never seen before, right? Isn't that something? Something to think about. So you think of the things that are what? Lovely. Things that are of a good report. There be any virtue. Virtue means goodness. If there be any what? Praise. Not complaining. Praise. Think on what? Think on these things. Thanks. All right? So don't let the devil take your song out of you. All right? This is just part one. We'll get a little bit more into this on next week. But I want you all hold your finger there in Exodus 15:1. Because that's what we're going to start at. Lord said the same on next week. 15:1. But we got to understand what started 15:1. 15:1 says, and they sang the song of Moses. Is that what 15:1 say? 15:1? Something like that.
Yes, they said. 15:1 says, then sang Moses and the children.
See, they sang. But you got to say, well, what made them sing? You got to go up to the next chapter. It says, when they saw Pharaoh's army's bodies wash up on the shore, that's what caused them to say that great fear came over them. And many of them did what they believed. You see that? And as a result of that mind frame, that's when they started praising the Lord. See, I know when you ain't got no mind to praise the Lord, something done happened to you. Something done threw you off track. You done let the devil snatch the what? Praise out of you. You done forgot what the Lord did for you. Because when you remember what the Lord did, you easily praise him. It don't be no problem. You be saying, I got a song to sing. We say, well, we got to cut it off. All right. Maybe the next time. See, that's how your attitude be. You ain't get no attitude. Somebody say it's time to cut the songs off. You ain't got no attitude. Shucks. Well, I won't sing no way then. Well, the Lord ain't give you that song then. Nobody but the devil put that thought inside your mind. Because if it was the Lord, you would have had the right attitude with it, right?
Amen.
You wouldn't be walking around talking about, they don't want me to sing. What you mean they don't want you to sing? Who told you we didn't want you to sing? Just because you couldn't stand in front of the saints don't mean you got to stop your song. Your song should be down inside your heart, right? Should be in your heart.
Amen.
Whether we sing it this time or not, the song should still be where? Inside of your heart.
Amen.
And Lord help you, don't let the devil make you forget your song.
Jesus.
Huh? Don't let the devil make you forget your song. Don't do that. Keep the song down inside of your saints, right? Trust you got something out the word. Hide the word in your heart that you may not sin against.